Hello and welcome to another edition of the South Boys Podcast. This is Angelo. You know the drill. Like us on Facebook, the South Boys Podcast. Follow us on Twitter at South Boys Pod and on Instagram, South Boys Podcast. We're also on YouTube. Subscribe to our YouTube channel, Navs Ganglani. Or if you're old school, you can always email us your inquiries, questions, shoutouts to our email address, southboys.podcast@gmail.com. So, let me ask you, before the season started, what was your expectation for the second overall pick, Jalen Green? Was he your favorite to win Rookie of the Year? Did you expect him to be the most exciting rookie to watch? Or did you predict that he'll be one of the most prolific scorers right out of the gate? Well, I think you're not alone in thinking that Green can possibly be all those things. You know, Jalen has shown over his high school, G League days, and even a little bit in the summer league that he's definitely one of the most athletically gifted and electrifying bucket getters in this year's draft class. And you can't blame social media, basketball fans, and the media in general to salivate over Jalen Green's potential and put this maybe enormous expectation on him on his first year. But after playing 8 games as of this recording, he hasn't exactly been what the fans wanted him to be. So far, he has scored 20 or more points only in 2 games. And even with the number 1 pick, Cade Cunningham, only playing 3 games so far, Jalen has not been the best rookie performer, at least in my eyes. I think that title belongs to either Evan Mobley, Franz Wagner, Chris Duarte, or Scotty Barnes. A lot of underrated rookies this season. And NBA.com just updated their rookie ladder, and Jalen Green did not even crack the top 5. I know it's been just 8 games, under 10 games, but to be honest, if you've listened to past episodes, I wasn't too high on him winning Rookie of the Year. Well, I'm not saying that he can't. I'm just saying from my amateur observation of his game, the way he plays, his strengths and weaknesses, his physical stature, I expected him to have an inconsistent or up and down first year, mainly because there's no doubt that he can put the ball in the hoop, but in other areas of his game, he's still raw. So I had doubts that he can impact the game other than scoring, you know, compared to guys like Cunningham, who is a more finished product, Evan Mobley, who is also raw offensively but is already so disruptive defensively, then Josh Giddey, aka the NBA Chalamet, who has exquisite vision, or Scotty Barnes, who's playing like one of the best two-way players already. I thought before the season started that playing against NBA level defenders who can bully him, play him physically, and also him trying to score against complex NBA level defensive schemes, that he'll have a rather tough time adjusting right away. And the early returns are, you know, sad to say, proving me right. We've seen him get hot, particularly in a loss against Boston, which is by far his best game. He scored 30 points with 8 three-pointers, shooting 60% from the field. And then in a tight loss against the Lakers, he scored 24 points, including 12 in the first quarter, with 5 threes, and again a scorching 60% from the field. Then all his other games have been ice cold. He didn't shoot over 37% in other games. And then earlier today, I'm recording this November 5, earlier against the Suns, he shot just 3 out of 14. So I'm focusing mainly on his scoring because, again, that's his calling card in his young career. We shouldn't, I think it's not fair to expect him to shine on other areas of the game at this point. Although that would be great if he showed us something other than scoring the ball. But overall, in 8 games, Jalen's averaging 14.8 points per game, 3.6 rebounds, 3.3 assists, shooting 35% from the field, defensively 0.8 steals, 0.5 blocks, then turning the ball over 2.8 times per game. So among rookies, he's 4th in points per game, 2nd in 3-point field goals made, 2nd in usage rate, and 4th in minutes per game. So how does head coach Stephen Silas and the Houston Rockets use Jalen Green? Well, Jalen's the primary shooting guard who starts and ends the game for them. Kevin Porter Jr., KPJ, is the quote-unquote point guard or primary ball handler who I think is not a good fit alongside Jalen because of his shoot-first mentality. Imagine your starting backcourt having the shoot-first or score-first mentality. Of course, John Wall is still injured. We don't know when he'll be back or whether he'll be playing for the Rockets at this point. Are we really still counting on John Wall? But anyway, going back to Jalen Green, everybody knows that he's a spectacular one-on-one offensive player. He can break down his defender. He can step back. He has all the moves, the tricks in the bag. He has a deep bag, but it's not like the Rockets on majority of their possessions just give the keys to Green and say, like, here you go, Jalen, you have the ball and we'll just get the hell out of the way, like players like Luka, Trae Young. In every possession, the time that the ball is in his hands in average is just 3 seconds, which is a far cry from the league leader Luka Doncic, who averages 9 seconds per possession. And in the NBA's advanced stats among rookies, he's ranked 5th. Plus, when you check out NBA's tracking metrics, he doesn't even reach the minimum amount of ISOs per game to be tracked by the metric. So it's also evident when you watch Houston's games, you rarely see Jalen bringing down the ball, setting the table, running pick and rolls, again, running ISOs. That's not how the Houston Rockets are playing using Jalen Green. The Rockets utilizes him mostly from off-the-ball movements, catch-and-shoot situations, like end dribble handoffs, floppy actions, or just dribble handoffs that turns into a two-man game. So 59% of his field goals are assisted, and 64% of his three-pointers are assisted, which is a big part of his game, his three-point shot. More on this later. So there you go. Almost 60% of his field goals are assisted. You know, it's not like he's creating his own shot every time, every possession. He's not a quote-unquote ball hog, as you know, as other people might have this perception of him. So the reason for this is, again, I think they want to harness Jalen's strengths more, which is scoring, rather than experiment and run the risk of exposing his weaknesses, like being the primary facilitator. Because let's be honest, it's a part of his game that he still needs to heavily work on. So I've mentioned that at the top of the episode, it's been feast or famine so far for Jalen Green. 8 games into the season, unfortunately, it's been more bad than good. Part of the reason why Jalen has been either scorching hot or freezing cold is because he's been doing most of his damage from beyond the arc rather than going hard to the basket or shooting from the mid-range. In fact, 53% of his shot attempts are from the outside, and 50%, half of his points he scored so far, are three-pointers. So a mark also of an excellent scorer in the league is getting to the foul line. and converting free throws. So Jalen Green didn't attempt a single free throw in his first four games, although he attempted 9 and then 5 the next games, and then went back to just 2. Then his last game against the Phoenix Suns, he attempted 8. So he's not exactly consistent in drawing fouls and getting to the line, given that Jalen has the ball handling chops and quick first step to blow by his man, then get to the rim, and explosiveness to finish. It might be because we haven't seen much aggression from him, as he's only averaging 3.4 drives, field goal attempts per game, which is 6th among rookies. Which brings me back to my point of playing against NBA level defenders, being able to body him up and then stop him at his tracks or challenge him at the rim and then forcing him to just take outside jumpers. Yeah, that's also a factor why he settles more for outside shots rather than getting to the rim or driving into the lane. I'd love to see him be more aggressive moving forward and use his just uber athleticism to draw fouls and get easy points from the stripe. When I watch his games, there are moments, to be honest, when I forget that he's even on the floor. If he's not scoring, or when the ball is not on his hands, and even in the defensive end, you won't feel his impact. But when he's on, he is on. It's so fun to watch when he goes nuclear in terms of scoring, getting buckets. And you know, I know we're not even halfway through the season. It's been only 8 games. So far, his performance is maybe not what majority of the people are expecting, especially in social media. He's not even one of the top 3 to 5 best rookies. But for the record, I love Jalen Green. I'm not hating on him. I'm excited to watch what he can become. I'm confident that he'll be one of the best players in the league one day. The point that I want to make is, let's not panic. Don't say that he's a bust. The jump to the NBA is one of the toughest leaps to make for a young guy. We still have a whole season ahead of us. Will he win Rookie of the Year? It's still highly probable. Will he end up as one of the top 5 rookies at the end of the season? If I'm a betting man, I'm betting he will be. He's already shown flashes of greatness. There's still a lot of room to improve for Jalen, and I get all the hype for his rookie season. I get that the Filipinos, we are all behind him, but please, please don't hold on to the expectation that he has to have it all figured out in just his rookie season. He's just 19 years old. We should get excited of the type of player that he can become in, let's say, 3, 4, 5 years. If you check out his interviews, he has overflowing confidence. He says that he's the best player in the draft. He mentions that he has a chip on his shoulder because he believes that he should have gone number one. He cares about basketball, which is a crucial part of today's game. He's competitive. That's why I have the utmost trust in him to work hard, bulk up, and improve on his weaknesses. I'm a Jalen Green stan. His floor, in my eyes, is his fellow Phil Am Jordan Clarkson, as someone who is just a professional scorer but cannot do much else. And then his ceiling for me is Paul George. I see a lot of PG-13 in his game. They're both lanky. They're just so smooth when they move. You see it in their games. The athleticism and touch is there. And yeah, I believe that Green can be an elite two-way player in the future. So I'm not sounding the alarm on Jalen Green. I put up this episode with the hopes of tempering people's expectations, and I hope it did that, at least for you. So again, relax, he'll be fine. So yeah, ladies and gents, thank you for listening, and I'm out.